Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
And welcome to this wonderful outdoor joint worship service. We welcome you here. We welcome you if your primary church home is this one right here, our United Methodist Church. If you are visiting us from Pastor Karen's church across the street. And we also welcome anyone who is listening to this ministry over the radio. We welcome all of you in the name of Christ.
One morning in Jerusalem, about the break of dawn, great trial was in session, they tried my blessed Lord. They scorned him and they mocked him, and they made him carry the cross. On top of Calvary Mountain, they crucified my Lord. Oh, he cried from the cross, forgiven, blessed Father. He died upon the cross. Oh, he cried from the cross. The Son of God was dying to save the world from loss. St. Peter, he denied him that awful trial that night. He said he never knew him. It was an awful sight. He looked upon St. Peter with eyes of perfect love. St. Peter's heart was broken, he prayed to God above. Oh, he cried from the cross, forgiven, blessed Father, he died upon the cross. Oh, he cried from the cross, the Son of God was dying. Save the world from love. Crying, Father, it is finished, as he bowed his head and cried. The world was left in darkness, the graves were open wide. An earthquake shook Jerusalem, and the dead all walked to town. The multitudes were frightened, God's wrath came pouring down. Oh, he cried from the cross, forgiven, blessed Father, he died upon the cross. Oh, he cried from the cross, the Son of God was dying to save the world from the loss.
This morning we hear of Jesus taking a stroll on water. Matthew 14, verses 22 and 23. Right away, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and start back across the lake. But he stayed until he had sent the crowds away. Then he went up on a mountain where he could be alone and pray. Later that evening, he was still there. By the time the boat was a long way from the shore, it was going against the wind and was being tossed around by the waves. A little while before morning, Jesus came walking on the water toward his disciples. When they saw him, they thought he was a ghost. They were terrified and started screaming. At once, Jesus said to them, "Don't worry, I am Jesus. Do not be afraid." Peter replied, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you on the water." "Come on," Jesus said. Peter then got out of the boat and started walking on the water toward him. But when Peter saw how strong the wind was, he was afraid and started sinking. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Right away, Jesus reached out his hand. He helped Peter up and said, "You surely don't have much faith. Why do you doubt?" When Jesus and Peter got into the boat, the wind died down. The men in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You really are the Son of God." Amen.
Amen.
Well, God spoke to Moses at the burning bush. Burning bush, Lord, the burning bush. And God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, saying, I am the Lord thy God. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. For I am the Lord thy God. Well, go yonder, Moses, and smite that rock. Smite that rock, yeah, smite that rock. Go yonder, Moses, and smite that rock. For I am the Lord thy God. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. I am the Lord thy God. Well, stand still, Moses, see salvation work. Salvation work, see salvation work. Stand still, Moses, see salvation work. For I am the Lord thy God. Oh, take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. Holy ground, you're on holy ground. Take your shoes off, Moses, you're on holy ground. For I am the Lord thy God.
I get to preach on the first half of our scripture passage for this morning. In part because what really struck me in this gospel reading was the disciples out in the boat convinced that they were seeing a ghost. Now, when you think about them, and when you flip back through the Gospel of Matthew, these disciples have seen Jesus do miracles. They have seen him feed 5,000 men, plus women and children, perhaps his own private corn festival. He fed them all. You've seen what an effort that takes. We have seen him heal people. And he's done these miracles. And so sometimes it's like, well, why wouldn't they just think it's Jesus coming to them? But I think they were looking through their fear. Because if you flip back through that Gospel of Matthew, John the Baptist has just been beheaded. And these are disciples following somebody that they know full well the powerful are not happy with. And so you could see them looking out and seeing this figure coming across the water. And of course, people don't walk on water. They sink. And they would think, this is his ghost coming to give us his goodbye. Or his ghost coming to tell us his final words of preparation. But I think their reason, what people can and can't do, and their fear got the best of them. And I started to think, well, how often are we seeing ghosts? How often do we let our fear and our reason get the best of us? How often do we look around and decide that things can't be done or aren't going to happen because we're speaking through our fear? I can picture those disciples in the boat terrified that a ghost is coming for them and saying, you know what? We should not have left Jesus alone. We should not have left him alone to pray. We should have left Peter back there with his sword. We know he's got one. He pulls it out in the Garden of Gethsemane when they're coming to her. We should have left Peter with his sword to guard Jesus, and stuff like this would not happen. You can hear the guilt from their hearts. We love this man. How could we have left him all alone? He was exhausted. He had blessed and dismissed all of these crowds, and here we go off on a boat, leaving him alone. What were we thinking? Of course the man's ended up dead. You can hear their guilt as they see
what they think is a ghost coming through them. I think sometimes we deal with our ghosts. We deal with our guilts and we deal with our fears. If only I had. I would not have done that if I had known. All right. How can I go back and possibly either unsay that or undo that? We often see our ghosts. I think we see our fears. We look at a world that it seems like it's gone crazy overnight. And we speak through our fears. And here's the problem when we do that. When we speak through our fears and through our guilt and the little bit of reason that will come right out and say, yeah, we all know what the world's like. You know the reasonable one? If you're looking for him in the disciples, he's Thomas. In the disciples, Thomas is the one who, of course, we remember the resurrection. He's got to see the wounds for himself to know this is Jesus. But earlier, when Jesus decides he's going to go back to Jerusalem because he hears that Lazarus has died, Thomas is the one who looks around and says, all right, let's go with him so we can die there with him. That's Thomas. He's a realist. He knows the powers aren't happy with Jesus, and he thinks through his fear, and he thinks through his reason, and we do the same thing often that he does, and here's what we miss. We miss the living Jesus walking on the water, coming to our boat. We miss it. We're so busy yelling it's a ghost and screaming that we're scared. We miss that it is the living, intact, whole Jesus. He is calmly walking on the water. He's had his time of prayer. Jesus is good. And we are scared. So I would say, first of all, if you're scared, and if you're worried, and if you're fearful, the disciples show us we're in good company. They also show us we can miss the living Jesus walking towards us.
So friends, I have the honor and privilege of talking to you about the second half of this story, more the part of the story where Jesus and Peter are walking towards each other on the water. And so while I was thinking about the second half of the story, the part where Jesus is coming towards the water and Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come on. But then Peter starts walking on water and sees the wind and realizes, oh my gosh, there's no floor under me, and starts sinking. And then Jesus sticks out his hand and saves him. So while I was thinking about that second half of the story, I was thinking about this old little story that some circles of faith use and that some preachers use to sort of talk about our faith and how we look for God showing up in our world. So it's this old story about a man who was in the middle of a flood, and his neighborhood was flooding, and everyone else in town was escaping the flood, but he decided to hang back in his house because he said, nope, I'm going to wait for God to save me from this flood. So he did not try to escape by himself. So he was standing outside of his house waiting for God to show up and save him from the flood when someone drove by in a car and yelled out the window at him, hey, come on, get in with me. I'll drive you out of here. There's a flood coming through. You're going to get drowned. And he said, nope, I'm waiting for God to save me, so I'm not going to go with you. So the car drove away. The waters started to rise, and it got to the point where he had to seek higher ground because the waters were rising. And then a boat rowed down the street and saw him, and the rower yelled out to this man, get in the boat. Come with me. I'll save you. There's a flood. You're going to get drowned by this flood. And the man said back to him, nope, no need for that. I am waiting for God to save me. And so the boat went on by. The waters continued to rise and rise and rise and rise until this man had to stand on the roof of his house because the waters had risen all the way up and had submerged his house. And then a helicopter flew on overhead, and And the person who was flying the helicopter yelled out the window to this man standing below, "Here, get in. I'll lower my ladder and I'll help you get into this helicopter and I'll fly you away. I'll get you out of here. There's a flood. You're going to drown." And the man said, nope, I'm not going to take that helicopter because I am waiting for God to come and save me from this flood." And so the helicopter flew away and the waters continued to rise and the man died in the flood. Then he went to heaven and got to talk to God, and he said, "God, I asked you to save me from this flood. I was waiting for you to save me from this flood. Why didn't you save me from the flood?" And God said, "Look, I sent a car, and then I sent a boat, and then I sent a helicopter. What were you waiting for? I did try to save you." And so, friends, the reason why I bring up that story in the face of this story about Jesus and Peter walking on water together is because, really, the thought that comes to my mind when I read the story about Jesus and Peter walking on water together is, what are we really waiting for? Are we waiting for some kind of a sign or some kind of an impetus or some kind of a push from God in order to actually feel comfortable enough to get out of the boat and walk to him? Jesus is already present in our lives. He's already been here. He is already with us in our hearts. He is already living in the hearts and in the faces and in the love of the people around us. He is already our risen Lord. He's already been here with us. So what are we waiting for to get out of the boat and serve him? What are we waiting to see Jesus do for us that he hasn't already done? I think about this because as Peter, before he's willing to get out of the boat and actually walk to Jesus, before he's willing to take that leap of faith, he actually has to say to him, "Lord, if it's really you, command me to walk to you on the water. Lord, if it's really you." Pastor Karen already talked to us about this whole "it's a ghost" thing, but how disconnected must Peter have been from his faith that he was standing, 10, 20 feet away from Jesus, who he spent the last year of his life following, and he doesn't recognize that that's Jesus? He actually has to say, "Now, Lord, if it's really you, I'll come and walk to you." He's seen all these miracles that Jesus has performed. He's been with Jesus all of the time. How could he not recognize him? Do we have these same moments in our own lives where the face of Christ is standing 10 feet away from us, saying, "Come and walk to us on the water," and still we have to test that? Still we don't believe, still we don't want to follow. Do we have those moments where we don't believe that it's really the face of Jesus in front of us? Do we make God prove himself before we're willing to believe it's really him? Do we make God prove himself before we're really willing to follow and serve him? Do we look for proof? Do we test God like that? Do we fail to recognize the face and the need of Jesus when he is right in front of us? And then when we have those moments of doubt, when we doubt if it's really Jesus in the first place standing in front of us, if it's really Jesus calling to us, saying, "Come and serve this need in the world. Come and be my disciple. Come and bring my love to a world that desperately, desperately needs it, to a world that is starved for my love." What helps motivate us to get out of that boat and go and follow and walk with Jesus, even if it means walking on what feels like completely unsolid ground, aka water? What motivates us? What gives us that push? What makes us feel comfortable enough that we can go and trust and serve Jesus? What gives us that motivation? And then, what inhibits us from following Jesus? If we were comfortable following Jesus before, are there things in this world, are there things in our lives that make us change our mind or that scare us off? Because Matthew tells us that Peter had decided to get out of the boat and he started walking to Jesus, but then he saw the strong wind and all of a sudden he got scared and then he stopped walking on water and he started to sink. And then Jesus needed to reach out his hand and save him. Do we have those same moments where we were happily and comfortably doing the work of God in the world, where we were serving our churches, we were serving our communities, but then something made us question if that's really a good thing to do? Is it really worth it? Is it really safe? Is there harm coming my way if I continue to follow the Lord? Are there things in our lives that scare us away from being good stewards of God's resources for us, for being good Christians, for being good servants of the Lord? Are there things that intimidate us about living in this world as good Christians? What are those things? What gets in the way between us and our relationship with Jesus? What is our strong wind that scares us off? And then, what sets us back on track? What gets us to start following Jesus again? What pulls us back to the surface when the things of this world start to push us back into the water? These were the things that I was thinking about as I was looking at the second half of this text. So the first thing that sets us right when we start to have doubts about Jesus, whether we should really get out of the boat, get out of our comfort zone and start following him, whether we should really serve him, whether we should really bring Jesus' love into the world. The first thing that always sets us right on that track of love is Jesus himself. Whenever we have moments of questioning or doubt or fear or uncertainty, Jesus himself always reaches out his hand and brings us back. It's what he does for Peter the second he has a moment of hesitation, and he does it lovingly for every single one of us every time that we need him. The hand of Jesus is always there in our lives. And then when we see our own brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends starting to have moments of doubt in the Lord and fear and uncertainty that God is really there for us, that he serves us, that he loves us, that he wants us to serve him in this world, we can remind one another, take heart, Jesus is really there. Don't be afraid. He'll be there for you. And we can reach out our hands to one another. Jesus calls to us over and over, and whenever we need a reminder that it is really Jesus, that it's really the face of Jesus in front of us, that this is really a world that is starving for Jesus' love and that needs to see that, then Jesus calls to us over and over and gives us more and more reminders of his love for us, always, continually. And whenever we falter in our faith, whenever we start to have doubts, Jesus catches us. And so we should just remember this morning while we think about this story, this very familiar story that we've heard before, that we'll hear again, about Jesus walking on the water with Peter and Peter having the faith to follow him. That if we're looking for motivation, if we're thinking about what motivates us to get out of that boat, to get out of our relative comfortable safety zone and actually walk on the water and go serve the Lord, the first thing that might motivate us to go serve Jesus is Jesus himself. And if we're not thinking that we're hearing the voice of the familiar Jesus in our ear, if we're not thinking that we're really seeing Jesus' face in front of us, then we can see the face of Jesus in everyone that we love, in all of our friends and neighbors around us, and in this greater world. We can see the face of Christ in every single person. And we can see the things that Jesus wants us to go lovingly take care of for him in the need of this world. This world has some tremendous needs. We all need a little bit more of Jesus' love, now more than ever. Jesus already invited us to go bring his love out into the world. He already told us to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked and visit the sick and the prisoner. He's already called to us. So what are we waiting for? He's already invited us to come and walk on the water. We don't need any more sign. We're already able to go out and love and serve. We already see the face of Jesus in our neighbors, and we see Jesus suffering right along with them. We might get intimidated by that because it draws us out of the boat. It draws us out of our comfort zone and out onto the water, and it makes us take a leap of faith just like Peter took. But every time we have moments of doubt, we can catch each other. Jesus will always catch us. And even in the midst of the world's troubles, even in the midst of everything, Jesus is always our ultimate source of comfort, even when we're in the middle of an unknown windy sea. Jesus will always calm us. He'll always reassure us. And he will always say to us, "It is I. Take heart. Don't be afraid." There's nothing for us to wait for but to go give that same loving reassurance to one another. May it be so, and thanks be to God. Amen.
Some have mothers who are gone, are gone. Some have mothers who are gone, are gone. Way up yonder in that new bright world, well, heaven's light is shining on me. Heaven's light is shining on me. Heaven's light is shining on me. Way up yonder in that new bright world, well, heaven's light is shining on me. Some have fathers who are gone, are gone. Some have fathers who are gone, are gone. Way up yonder in that new bright world, well, heaven's light is shining on me. Some have children who are gone, are gone. Some have children who are gone, are gone. Way up yonder in that new bright world, heaven's light is shining on me. Oh, heaven's light is shining, yes, it's shining on me. Heaven's light is shining, yes, it's shining on me. Way up yonder in that new bright world, heaven's light is shining on me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you faith and hope, peace and much love, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory. Hallelujah, when I lay my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burden down. Ain't gonna have no pain and sorrow when I lay my burden down. Ain't gonna have no pain and sorrow when I lay my burden down. See my Lord and Savior when I lay my burden down. I'm gonna see my Lord and Savior when I lay my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burden down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, when I lay my burden down.
This has been a message from Karen and Natalie with Pastors Karen Farmer and Natalie Bowerman from the Combined Outdoor Service on August 13, 2017. How often do we let our fears get the best of us, keeping us from seeing the living Jesus offering an outstretched hand or causing us to insist on further assurance before we accept God's help? What motivates us to trust, to follow, to get back on track with God?
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.